John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1 again, please. And we'll read these verses one more time for simplicity's sake. John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, it says, with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning, it says, with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now, go to 1 Peter chapter 3 one more time, please, and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where the Bible says, but sanctify, it says, the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, there's three major questions that people ask, especially young people coming up in our public school system. They ask this: who am I and what am I worth? They ask this question also: why am I here? What is life's purpose? They also ask this: where am I going to go when I die? And so they have those three major questions that kind of pivot from one side of the brain to the other side of the brain all through their public school years. And it seems like the devil does a masterful job in trying to discredit God himself and his word. Well, we see that in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1, where the Bible says, and he said unto the woman, yea, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the serpent said in verse 4, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5, the Bible says, for God, and this is the serpent speaking here, for God know that in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, that sounds definitely like a Mormon doctrine. You know, the Mormons believe, of course, when you leave this life, that you go into that which is the spirit world and you become a god. A matter of fact, if you're a lady and you're really blessed, you have spiritual babies, they teach. Now, that's why my wife never wanted to be a Mormon, amen? But to have spiritual babies all the days of your life, okay? Now, but that is not true. There is one God, that is God the Creator. You know, when you deal with the word evolution, you know, somebody looks at evolution, they say, well, evolution, I know what evolution is. Evolution is thus and so, and they give a definition of evolution. But do you realize that there's six different types of evolution? There's the cosmic evolution. That means that there's the origin of time, space, and matter. That's where we get the Big Bang. There's that which is the chemical evolution. That's the origin of the higher elements from hydrogen. There's that which is the stellar evolution. That's also called planetary evolution. That's the origin of the stars and the planets. And by the way, you never saw a star formed, have you? Never saw one formed. There's that which is the organic evolution. That's the origin of life. There's that which is the macro evolution. That's the changing from one kind to another kind. There's the micro evolution. Of course, that's the only one that's ever been proven, is the micro evolution. Now, what is that? That's the variations of kinds within themselves, okay? That's the difference in offsprings. That's the difference between a long-haired dog and a short-haired dog, okay? That's called microevolution. That's the only one that's ever been proven, and here's what they do. They go back to that one proven stage of evolution, and they try to branch all these other five stages or five theories of evolution off of that one. Matter of fact, if you were to open up a first grade book, you would see in the first grade book and teaching about the design of the world that they say to first graders that the world is 4.5 billion years old. Now, I've got some major problems with that, because if you deal with the first law of thermodynamics, it means this. The first law of thermodynamics means this, that matter cannot be created or destroyed, all right? And so that means this, that the world had to be created by someone or the world created itself. And I got news for you, the world did not create itself. And so here's what the devil does. The devil comes up with a theory. It's called the Big Bang. The Big Bang took place, according to public school books, between 18 and 20 billion years ago. See, the universe at that time was going through some type of cosmic problem, and all of a sudden now it came together in a concentrated period. I mean, it came together concentratedly into one little bitty dot. And so it came from the state of nothingness, and now all of a sudden from the state of nothingness, it comes into one little bitty dot, one little piece of dirt, if you will. That's called matter. All right, so it comes together in one little piece of dirt, and then all of a sudden, out of that one little piece of dirt, that's that dot, that there's that period on the page, there was a terrific, horrendous type of explosion that they call the Big Bang. Now, if that is true tonight, you have a choice of believing. Did I come from dirt, or did I come from an almighty God? Now, may I say tonight, it takes more faith to believe that you came from dirt than it does to believe that you came from an almighty God. You know, any type of scientist would tell you that they believe in that which is the conservation of the angular momentum, which means this. You put some kids on a merry-go-round and you get the spinning it really, really fast, and it gets up to about 30 miles an hour. They're holding one for dear life. You get up to about 100 miles an hour and they start to spin off of the merry-go-round. Okay? If the merry-go-round is going clockwise, then when they spin off of that merry-go-round, and by the way, this is what evolutionists say, they say that that has to do with the way that all of a sudden things came together. But we're not talking about things coming together. We're talking about things coming apart. Okay? But when they come off of that merry-go-round, if that merry-go-round is going clockwise, then when they spin off of that merry-go-round, then they're also going to be spinning off clockwise. That's that angular movement, if you will, please. All right. And so as they're spinning off clock, then that means this. That means when there was the Big Bang, if you got a little bitty period, stay with me now. You got a little bitty period, then everything that spins off of that little bitty period, according to the evolutionist, then what has to happen is it's still spinning the same way. Well, I've got a problem with that because I'm just talking science, but I've got a problem with that because you have two planets out there in the universe by the name of Venus and Uranus. And also, if you could take in Pluto, and they're spinning backwards. So right there, just by the sheer token of the fact that in the universe, if we're going to have a big bang and everything is going to spin off of that, then something. See, God always proves himself, and he always proves himself to be higher and wiser than man. You realize that there, out of the 91 moons that's in the universe, 8 of them spin backwards. 8 of them spin back. And by the way, they're spinning backwards around the other moons. Now, what is that? I'll tell you what that was. That was not a big bang. That was the creator God saying, I'm even going to prove to you that this couldn't be a big bang by the sheer fact of the way that I designed the universe by my mighty hand. Okay, now let's look at some things tonight about how things did come to be. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus said, made them at the beginning. So Jesus was there, and he made them at the beginning. You'll see here that in the Bible, over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right, so God says that he is the one that created the heaven and earth. You know, when they got on the moon, it was amazing. When they landed on the moon, they thought because the universe was billions and billions of years old, that when they landed on the moon, that the crater dust would be up around that which is, you know, the kneecap, or maybe even up around the waist. But when they jumped and they landed on the moon, it was only about 6 inches of moon dust. And just by that proves that the universe is not billions and billions and billions of years old. All right. You'll note in your Bible, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 21, and God created, it says, great whales and every living creature that moveth. And the waters, it says, brought forth abundantly after their kind. And it says, and every wing fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So God said, I'm creating everything after its own kind. Now, by the way, that's talking about microevolution. So if somebody says, do you believe in evolution? You can always ask them, well, which one? Which evolution are you talking about? Yes, I do believe in a evolution, and that is the microevolution where God himself created everything after its own kind. But that is the only thing that's ever been proven. Come on. And so a dog gives birth to that which is a dog. A cat gives birth to that which is a cat. A human gives birth to that which is a human. But a queer gives birth to no one. It's not, I just had to throw that in here. It's just not natural. All right, watch this. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says God created man in his own image. Boy, isn't it a slap in God's face for somebody to say that we evolved from apes? Because God said that he created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. A male and female created he them. Three times in the book of Genesis do you see that God mentions that he created. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, it says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that it says moveth upon the earth. The word replenish simply means to fill up. All right? And so God was telling them what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to come together and fill up the earth. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, the Bible says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from the heaven. All right, so Satan rose up one day, Lucifer, as known in heaven, and he's there around the throne of God. Remember, he's the cherubim, all right? So he's the one that's protecting that which is the Holy of Holies. He's the closest to God. And so Lucifer rises up, tries to overtake the throne of God. God said it's not happening here, and God cast him down, all right? What took place? Then sin became that which was dwelling inside of the earth. All right, inside of that which we know today. There was a Frenchman that said this in 1861 at a French academy. A scientist published, and it was a famous list, by the way. It was called 51 Scientific Facts. And every single one of those 51 scientific facts went against the very grain and the fabric of Bible doctrine, principle, and truth. 50 years later, you come to find out that every single one of those scientific facts were disproven by other scientists. That's why the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Job chapter 38 and verse 4, the Bible says, it says, where wast thou that laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. All right? So he's asking some things back to humanity. He's asking some things back to the ones that he created in the book of Job. He's coming back and he's saying, I've got some questions that you need to answer. I've got some questions that you need to come up with. Where were you? Where were you at the foundation of the earth? He said, go ahead and declare it if thou hast any understanding. Now, man does not have understanding. You know why? He wasn't there. But God has all understanding. Why? Because God created the earth. God created man. Job chapter 38 and verse 6, the Bible says, whereupon it says the foundations thereof, it says fastened. And who laid the cornerstone thereof? Well, we know who laid it. We know that the world did not lay itself. We know it was not because of a cosmic burp. We know it wasn't because of that which was an atomic blast that they would call that which is the Big Bang theory. Isn't it amazing that when they came out with a theory, it was always known as a theory? You know why? There is no fact to the theory. All right. Job chapter 38, verse 17, the Bible says in the gates of death, it says, been opened unto thee. Thou hast seen the doors of the shadow of death. Job chapter 38 and verse 19, the Bible says, who is in the way? It says, where the light dwelleth, and for the darkness, where is the place thereof? So here's what he does. He tells who created that which is light just in this chapter. Who created that which is darkness just in this chapter. Then he climaxes by pointing back to himself and saying that he is the creator God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says God created, it says man in his own image. That word created simply means this, that God took man and created him from himself. You are created in the image of God. When you walk, you are that which is a living, breathing testimony of the wonderful creational work of the mighty hand of God. Never look down at yourself and say, well, I tell you what, I wish I would be made different. When you say that, what you're doing is you're slapping at God in his face and saying, you didn't know what you were doing when you made me. That's why the Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made each one of us uniquely. Well, I wish my nose was longer. I wish my nose was shorter. I wish my body stature was of a different frame. I wish that I had a different educational background. I wish I had different social statuses. No, no, no. God made you who you are. And that's how come he says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, creation evolution says this. Evolution says that those things that evolved are always evolving. Listen to me now. Bigger and better. That's what evolution states. It's getting bigger and better. But then we got some problems in trying to explain away some of the fossils that are birds that have feathers, wings, where they have all sorts of, and they're still that way today. And these were fossils way back then. So if things are getting better, how come God left off the birds? If you go to Montana, you'll see that there's a thing that's called Grasshopper Glacier. Grasshopper Glacier is a place where grasshoppers are frozen in the ice. But if you look at millions of them, by the way, are frozen in the ice. But if you look at them in Montana at that Grasshopper Glacier, you'll see that they're still the way that they are today. And yet they say that evolution is that which is getting bigger and better. You think about the mosquito fossils that you see that's in the moss. Well, they're not bigger and they're certainly not better. You think about the ants that's been fossilized in amber. You think about that, and the ants are still the same today. But if evolution is true, and these creatures or these insects or these animals or these mammals, if you would please, was created way back then, and everything is supposed to evolve to get bigger and better, then why is it that none of these ever got bigger or better? Or you think about this, there's that which is the fish fossil in the high mountains of the Alps and other places, looks exactly like the fish that's in the sea today. What happened? Why is it that they only pick on man and say that man got bigger and better as he evolved? When you look at some humans, you don't think they got bigger or better. There's a thing that's called the dawn horse. They say the dawn horse was created, came into existence, evolved 50 million years ago. They say the dawn horse is a terrific looking animal because it is the size of a fox and it had little bitty hoofs and it had four little toenails and had its front feet and it had the back feet and was just a miniature type of horse. And it evolved because, I mean, after all, look at all the horses today. Look at how these horses are today. But you can go to a farm in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and they raise miniature horses of the same stature. Oh, no, wait a minute. Why didn't these evolve? New Mexico, 1963, at the state fair, there was a horse that won the grand prize for being the size of a dog. A horse. Maybe if we buried it 100 years from now, they'll say that that was billions of years old. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24, the Bible says, and God said, let the earth bring forth, it says, the living creature after his kind, cattle and living thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. Let me give you some statements. Statement number one, if evolution says that evolving is always getting bigger and going upward, then why was it that the dinosaur, if you will, was still prehistoric? Now, why don't we have bigger dinosaurs today? If evolution is true, using their same definition, then we should have bigger and better dinosaurs today. You say, well, what about the flood? Well, I believe that Noah took two of every creature. Yeah, and it's amazing. You talk to some people about the flood, and they say, well, how in the world did he fit those big elephants on the ark? Well, he could have took a little one. He didn't have to always take the big ones. Well, how did he get those tall giraffes? Who said he had to take a tall one? I mean, it could have been one that was just born and just learned to be on its own. And by the way, who said he didn't have some dinosaurs on the ark? Who said that? The Bible says two of every creature. If the dinosaurs was alive back then, could he have not had dinosaurs on the ark? Well, sure he could. See, what we do is we limit ourselves. And by the way, if you go to some of the jungles, they still say that there's some great beast that's undescribable compared to any other species. So might it be that there's some creatures way out there in some Congo jungle somewhere that you don't see them, but because you don't see them, you don't think they exist. But we never saw Abraham Lincoln, but we all believe he existed. There was a fellow by the name of Dr. Willis Lee. He was an evolutionist in the United States, and he was over a geological type of department of survey. He said this: dinosaurs was of the origin of our ancestors, at least we thought. But since further study, I've come to the realization that probably it was something that was propaganda thought up from somebody else that did not understand the true origin of creatures. Come on. That's from a guy that's over a department of survey that surveys the things of those things of yesteryear. If you go to that, which is the imperial elephant, that giant skeleton that's in Los Angeles Museum. If you look at that, it makes all the other elephants today, listen to me, look like dwarfs. Now, what is that, Brother Wells? That's called reverse evolution. But evolution says it gets bigger and better. You're quiet. Statement number one. If evolution says that evolving is always bigger and better and upward, then why is it the dinosaurs, why are only the dinosaurs prehistoric? Statement number two. The so-called, if you will please, prehistoric man. What about him? What about the Nebraska man? They say that he's 1 million years old. What about the Nebraska man? Here's what they say. It says, using the 1 million-year-old man, it says, these scientists ridicule William Jennings Bryan as he believes that the Bible gives an accurate description of the creation of humanity and that we are not a part of the monkey trail, but rather we are a part of God's design. Now, wait. Think about this. There's that which is the Java ape man. Oh, by the way, let me tell you how they designed the Nebraska man that's supposed to be 1 billion years old. You want to hear how they did it? They found a tooth. And then they built a head around the tooth. And then after they built the head around the tooth, they put a neck on it. Then after they put the neck on it, they framed the rest of the body. Oh, we got a problem. Because after doing all that, 20 years later, they found out that the tooth was not even a human tooth. But yet they built that which was what they called the Nebraska man. And by the way, they still teach on that in the public schools. What about the Java ape man? The Java ape man. These are in your public school textbooks, by the way. Found it in 1891. There was a guy by the name of Dr. Eugene Dubase, and Dr. Eugene Dubase, an evolutionist, said that the Java man was supposed to be 750,000 years old. He said, it is proven that because we found the thigh bone and because we found three molar teeth, that this proves that there was a man way back when that we all evolved from. Problem with that. If you look at that, you cannot determine what somebody, the stature, if you would please, of a person by the motif or the thickness of their body just because of a thigh bone. and the top of that little bitty skull that they found. You cannot erect a total body out of that. That's like trying to build a car, and you have a door, and you have a hubcap, and you got a little piece of scrap metal. And you say, from that, I'm going to design exactly what that car looked like. That's nonsense. You can't do that. What about the Heidel? He's called the Heidelberg man. The Heidelberg man, they say, is 375,000 years old. How did they build him? They found a jawbone. That's all they found, was a jawbone. By the way, you'll see him in the textbooks of our young people today. What about the pit down, or what they call the Dawn Man? The Dawn Man. The Dawn Man, they say, is 800,000 years old. The Dawn Man. However, in 1950, they decided that they were going to do some more experiments on the Dawn Burger Man. And what took place is they found that it was a total hoax. A total hoax. But they never took it out of the public school books. It is still in the public school books today. All right. Statement number three. There's evolution is not accepted by all scientists. Evolution is not accepted by all scientists. Dr. Austin Clark said this. The missing link is not missing. It is a misrepresentation. There's Dr. Thomas Dwight of Harvard University says this. The tyranny is a matter of evolution is overwhelming a degree of a misunderstanding. Not only does it influence our matter of thinking, but there's a great opposition to that which is today, and it is a terror. How very few leaders understand the field of science will dare to tell the truth, for they're afraid of what others might think. How many feel that they're forced in public to get lip service to create some type of cultish belief when the belief is nothing but an imagination of the mind? Come on. Arthur Fields, an Australian geologist, says this. Here's what he says. He says, what is evolution based on? He said, it's nothing whatsoever other than a belief. It is a religion. For somebody to say that they are against that which is faith and the creation by an almighty God, but yet to say that they believe in that which is evolution, it is a false religion of science that opposes the God of the Bible and compels other people to think that they're intellect when they're not. If they understood the truth, they'd realize they're nothing but fools. And that's what he says. Now, wait a minute. And so here's what you've got. You've got two choices tonight, and I'm done. You have the choice of believing the God of the Bible. And it's a whole lot easier to believe that when God said that man was created in his own image than it is to believe somebody that says, well, you came from an ape. When you look at the falsehood of how they had built, and many of them has even turned against their own, quote, unquote, facts in older years because they felt guilty for expressing and spreading a lie. When you look at stuff like that that's been fabricated, how in the world? I mean, come on. When do we stop believing in something? If somebody stay with me. If somebody tells you a lie here and builds false evidence here and it becomes a hoax here and they disown it here and they say we were wrong here, how much longer do you say, okay, well, let's just give them another chance? You know, every single place that you go, if you study anything about that which is the lines that gives the age of the trees, and you study the time of Noah's Ark, and you study, of course, the Turkish mountains and things of that nature where the Ark is now resting there in Ariok. If you study, here's what you see. The earth cannot be more than 6,000 years old. It is an impossibility for the earth to be more than 6,000 years old. So where do they get this 4.5 billion year old earth? Where do they get that? Well, again, that's why it's called a theory. Because a theory is not something that can be subsequently doctrinated. It cannot be factually established. It cannot be something that you look at and say, okay, that's true. Matter of fact, the more you look at it, the more you begin to question, is it really true? That can't be true. How could that be true? Just by the sheer token of the fact and understanding what they say about the Big Bang leaves people that believe in evolution with a big letdown, because they understand exactly what they're talking about, and it's not right.